Are you ready for this?
Sean Merriman, a one-hand sack. Boom, 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 out go the lights.
This is Lights Out with Sean Merriman.
Yo, what's up? This is Sean Merriman on the Lights Out podcast with Sean Merriman. Guys, I can't wait. Seriously. We're going to be jumping into so many different topics, talking to so many different people from all different kind of backgrounds. Celebrities, sports figures. We're going to be talking sports and sometimes talking not about sports. But bottom line, we're going to be telling just like how it is. Straight to the point, not beating around the bush. We're not walking on eggshells. And just really talking about what the world needs to hear. And notice I said needs to hear, not want to hear. And today we are talking to one of my former teammates, Quentin Jammer, from the San Diego Chargers. And we were primarily talking about Dak Prescott and his press conference and in the mental health of football players and sports athletes. It don't get talked about enough. It just don't get talked about enough. So we're going to dive into it. He's dealt with his own personal situations. I've dealt with my own personal situations. And many other athletes have their own personal battles going on, but not too many talk about it because it's looked at as being weak. We're modern-day gladiators. We're not supposed to talk about things like that, but what Dak did was show leadership. And we'll dive into it a little bit more with my former teammate and my boy, Quentin Jammer. One of the things I want to talk about, man, first is, the struggles that we go through as athletes and how we're, like, supposed to be not human. And how we're perceived as to everyone else. You know, we've always been taught to toughen up, you know, not show any pain and not showing any emotions. And I can't remember and recall how many times I actually put bones back in place and taped it up and went back in the game. And, you know, that's how we grow up and that's what we're learning. And so just the struggles that, you know, we all go through and, you know, on and off the field, and people really just don't understand.
Yeah, they don't understand it, man. I remember in college, I tore everything in my left shoulder, bro. Like, shoulder came out. I put the little sleeve on, went back in the game. It came out twice during the game. And at halftime, they were like, you can't go back in, dude. Like, we're just going to decide to have the surgery on Monday. And I was like, nope, I'm going to go back in, give it one more try, tighten this shit up, let's go. Went back in, that shit came right back out.
Because, you know, we're taught to be gladiators, and you learn that as a kid. I just remember growing up, like, you crying in the house, you got punched in your chest and told you to toughen up. And, you know, sometimes you learn that that's the way, and you don't even really pay attention to the mental health aspect of it because you've been taught to be this way. But and the reason why I'm bringing this up is because of the passing of Dak Prescott's brother and what happened. And him coming out, man, it hit me in a different way that made me respect Dak in a whole different light.
Right.
Because it's not easy, for us being told we're gladiators growing up, being told you not showing any emotion, not do this, not do that. And he just told the world, man, like, I need to get mentally right before I can lead this team. And people don't understand what we go through, and just in a mental aspect of it, period. We go through it.
Yeah, mentally. Like, the NFL is made up primarily of black athletes who grow up, you know, without a dad or whatever the case may be. We also, you know, we come from, you know, tough backgrounds. A lot of us come from really tough backgrounds. A lot of us go through, you know, stuff that people can't even, you know, imagine. So it starts there. And then we grow up through this process where you can't really talk about how you feel or what has been done to you because you're soft in a community where, you know, you're soft if you talk about, you know, what's wrong with you. And so, you know, for Dak to come out and tell the world, you know, hey, listen, this is what went on with me. I went through a period of depression. It's big. It's big for the community who are dealing with depression and kind of hiding it, you know, because how can you get help? How can we help somebody who doesn't talk about their issues if we don't think that they need help? You know what I'm saying? So it was good that somebody on such a big platform came out and said, look, I deal with depression. Like, I am not a fucking robot. I deal with depression, and I still have to lead a football team on Sundays, and I have to lead them every day. Every day we go to practice. I have to lead my life. I have to lead kids. I'm a role model. I'm in commercials. So, you know, like I said, for him to come out with such a big platform and tell, you know, the stuff that's going on with him, you know, I hope, you know, it will have, you know, help more people come out and tell, you know, people, I need help, because we have so many guys that, you know, don't open up and then end up with a bullet in their chest. You know what I'm saying? So, they don't get the help that they need because maybe they feel alone in the whole process. I don't know exactly, but you know, from my experience, I went through it, bro, honestly. And, you know, I kept it in. I tried to hide it as long as I could. And finally, you know, I just, you know, spouted off to my wife, like, I can't do this no more. And she got on the phone with my brother. They sent me to this brain rehabilitation place for like 6.5 months. It was the best thing that I'd done. But you know, I mean, if you don't talk about it and nobody knows, then how could you get help? You know,
what was the day of the breaking point like for you that you realized like that you had to talk to somebody and say, look, I'm dealing with it. And I'm going through it.
It got to a point like because I literally like after the day I retired, I went through a real high point where I was just on top of the world like through for a year and about a year, year and a half. So basically 2014 to like mid 2015, I was good, and then all of a sudden, and like at one point in 2015, bro, I just hit a wall, and you know, I didn't think nothing of it. It's like, okay, you know, this is just a bad day, bad week, bad month, and it kept going on. It went on for 5 years. You know what I'm saying? Where I just didn't do anything. I didn't want to go out. I sat on the couch, watched TV. I was drinking heavily, hiding liquor bottles from my wife and shit. So it got bad, and there was one point when I hate to talk about it, but like I literally got in the truck, left the house, and I thought that this was gonna be it for me. You know what I'm saying? And I had drank so much, and I was taking sleeping pills because I couldn't sleep. I had drank and took probably too many trazodone to where like I parked and thought I was gonna end it all and fell asleep and woke up, and the next morning was like, shit, that could have went sideways fast, bro. And I was like, that was it for me. Like, I needed some help.
And then the first person, you know, you went to, obviously, you're probably your wife and family.
Wife. Yeah, my wife, my brother, yeah. My younger brother now, he's with the Detroit Lions. So Seattle Seahawks now, got traded last year. But he knows me probably better than I know me. And he knew something was going on. And he had already, you know, gave my wife the heads up. So, like, you come to a point, man, that you have to talk to somebody. Or, you know, it could go bad really, really fast.
You know, it's kind of crazy. You're talking about the whole bullet in the chest thing. And I'm thinking of you referring to you know, late great Junior Seau, and somebody who I looked at as a damn superhero, like Junebug, man. Like, when I first came in, you saw him, you just thought like this damn glow was behind him. You're like, man, that's Junior Seau. Yeah. And I'll never forget the day meeting him in the lobby of the Chargers practice facility. And I come in, I see Junior Seau, and my face lit up. I'm like, oh shit, that's Junior Seau. And He shook my hand. We were talking for a couple minutes, and he called me buddy. Yeah. Right. So I got all giggly, you know, aside, but man, I'm Junior Seau's buddy. Right. So I'm smiling ear to ear. I thought everything was cool. And he walked away or whatever. And I kind of trailed him walking down the hallway where all the pitches are at. And I heard him call like 10 other people buddy. And I just realized that was it. He called everybody buddy. And one thing that I knew and I found out quickly when I got to San Diego, that it wasn't anything or nothing moving bigger than Junior Seau.
No.
Like, he was San Diego and what he did in the community, you know, what he meant to people there. He was like the staple of everything. And I looked at him as like somebody who wasn't real, like a cartoon character who, you know, played through crazy injury. Because Dr. Child would tell me all, the team doctor for the Chargers would tell me all this stuff. And I would ask everything, but I want to know every single thing that Junior Seau did, because I want to do what he did and I want to do more. And so I found out every place he was rehabbing, every place he worked out, his 6 a.m. workout, his breakfast club workouts with him and Rodney Harrison. I tried to find out everything that Junior Seau did. And I saw this man working, I think even his 14th or 15th year in the offseason. And I said, no way in hell. No way in hell somebody's still running around here doing this in year like 14, 15. And so I thought of him when I got to San Diego as this superhero. And I'll never forget the day that I got that call. I was in Buffalo that he took his life. And I'll never forget what I was doing. I won't forget the clothes that I had on. I was just getting a massage in my living room. My masseuse was there, and I got the call, and I just tried to walk away. And I was living downtown Buffalo. I walked downstairs, and I'm tearing up just a little bit, trying to keep it in. I didn't want my masseuse to see me crying. And I walked downstairs to this little common area, took the elevator, and I walked and I just started to bawl. I couldn't stop crying. And the first person I called was Ray Lewis. And, you know, Ray was a mentor of mine since I was in college. And I called him, and I don't even remember crying like that since I was a kid. And I was crying and crying and crying. And when I called Ray Lewis, he was also crying on the phone, bawling out. And we couldn't even get a word out. We couldn't even get a word out because we were crying on the phone for 15 minutes straight before we were able to even say a word to each other. That from that day on, it changed the way that I looked at being vulnerable and letting people know that you need help. Because I said, in the way I looked at Junior Seau and how big he was and what he meant to San Diego and what he meant to just so many people, I was thinking in my head, I said, if he can do this to himself, this giant of a person and personality and who he was and all the pain and all the things that he played through, and he can take his own life, then it's real. And that was a day for me that I knew that if I ever had problems, and I went through it, if I'd had problems, I had to sit down and talk to somebody, because you don't know when that day is going to come, and you don't know the possibilities of taking your life or even having a thought process of doing it, and to talk to somebody before you get to that point.
Yeah, it's bad, man. And it's, you know, the thing about Junior was like you said, his personality. You would have never in life, if you ever met him, you would you would have never in life thought that he had anything going on to the extent that it went, you know? Never, ever. And because he was such a big personality, every time you saw him, he greeted you with a big ass smile and hey buddy. And you never would have thought that that a guy with so much going on, had, you know, inner demons. And you know, he was such a tough guy. He just, you know, I don't know if I see, I don't know. Like I've seen that, you know, I think that ESPN did something on his story, and that's when it hit me, because you know, I didn't even believe it when I got the news that he took his life. I think it was like breaking news, and I was just watching TV, didn't even believe it. I was like, nope, that shit didn't happen, not at all. And it really didn't hit me until, you know, I think ESPN did, it was a 30 for 30 or something about his life. And just to hear, you know, his former personal assistant, you know, I think her name was Betty, who, you know, ran his foundations and and ran his restaurant, and, you know, to hear her talk about it, like, I remember, like, sitting on the couch watching this and, like, just being in tears, like, just in tears about it, because, you know, I think, you know, she tried to help him, and he was in for it, and then, you know, he's Junior Seau. I'm, you know, like, I don't need help, bro. And you know, it ended so badly, and I hate to see it for his kids. I hate to see it for his ex-wife. I hate to see it for everybody. Betty, I hate to see it for everybody involved. All the people who loved him, you know, his fans all included. You know, we all hate to see it. So, you know, I hope, you know, that Dak's message, you know, gets taken for what it was. And it was that, you know, I'm just because I'm an athlete doesn't mean I don't have real world, real life problems, you know, and issues that can get me to go sideways. I'm like, money, it doesn't matter. I'm making $30 million this year, but I still get depressed. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I hope the public, you know, can process it the way we're processing it right now. You know exactly what he said.
Would have, if you had some advice for some of the people out there, because everybody deal with it different. You know, I know I'm not big into meditation. I tried it and I'm like, man, I'd rather just go work out.
Yeah.
You know, I like try to get into it, but I'm like not somebody who is, the whole meditation thing is just not really for me. So, you know, I'll go spar 3-4 days a week. I'll get in the cage and, you know, I'll roll, you know, jujitsu, I'll, you know, box, whatever, lift weights, whatever that is. Like, that's my outlet to keep me balanced. If, you know, you going through your deal and some of the things you had to deal with, what would you tell other people, other players, or anybody who don't play sports, man? Like, what's the steps they would need to do in order to get help? Or what did you do in the past that can help somebody else?
You need an outlet. Like you just, like you said, you go box, you go spar, I'm still big in jiu-jitsu. You need an outlet regardless of like I got a 90% chance I'm going to have back surgery. You know what I'm saying? Because like I got a lot of shit going on from football, but my outlet is jiu-jitsu. And regardless of how I feel, how bad it hurts, like, you got to go because that's your outlet. That's what keeps you going every day. That's what, you know, you endorphins, you need to, you know, get out and do something physical. But you find an outlet, whether it's working out or yoga or just hikes, whatever it is, find multiple, just, you know, get an outlet to do something and talk to somebody, tell people how you feel so you can get some help. And medication, it works. Like maybe you don't believe in medication, or you have some type of, you know, resistance towards medications, but find a medication that can help you get back on track. So an outlet, medication, even if it's medication for a little bit, so you can just, you know, you can get through a hard time in your life, and then you can come off when you're ready. Like that's all, that's good too. But find an outlet. Go try something new. You know what I'm saying? Go, if you've never tried jiu-jitsu, I'm a big jiu-jitsu advocate, because one, you're learning a skill, you know, a real life, you know, skill that you can use if you're, you know, ever attacked, you know, in life. You know what I'm saying? It, two, it's a workout. Pushing, pulling, cardio, you know, those 6-minute rounds, rolling on the floor with like six dudes. It's real life cardio.
It's nothing like it.
And you know, it is good for the soul. You know what I'm saying? Boxing, like I can't say enough about, you know, just an outlet being something, you know, steeped in combat. You know, because you're learning to be, you know, I always put it in context of, You know, you learn the skill of being a weapon if you ever need to be, because, you know, we live in a society where shit goes sideways quickly, you know. So being able to defend yourself is
protecting
huge.
Your family,
yeah,
whatever it
protecting
is.
Protecting your family, yeah, is huge. So, you know, like jujitsu, boxing, kickboxing, whatever it is, go do it. Whether it's lifting weights, running, get into something like where you can get outdoors, out of the house, where you're not just sitting on the couch playing video games or watching TV. And nothing against, you know, playing video games or watching TV, because I still do it, but find time to get out and do something productive that, like I said, learn a new skill, learn something new. I'm actually gonna, like, I got a little bored. I figured I'd get my real estate license. So I'm gonna go through the process of getting real estate, whether I'll use it or not, who knows? But just to have it, just a new skill to be able to do something, like keep your options open. Like being immersed in something takes your mind away from all the dark thoughts. So, just immerse yourself into something to keep your mind out of the darkness.
Yeah. So you're speaking all this combat sports.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I am.
is there any chance? Or have you thought about ever competing? I know we talked about some time you possibly taking a fight with Lights Out.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it some time ago. I know you had some injuries and some stuff and trying to get everything together. But was there any possibility that you was going to compete on a professional level?
Yeah, I've competed in multiple jiu-jitsu tournaments, a bunch of them. I can't even count how many, but it's been a lot. I've competed in a couple amateur fights around San Diego at clubs, but still fights.
Oh, we all
not
those
like
good
that.
Old club and bar
not,
fights.
Not like that. Actual caged fights in San Diego.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Civilized, organized,
organized. Yeah. There we go. And and I still would like to, fight like on a professional level. Yeah, it's still something that I want to do. Like I say, I'm gonna immerse myself into some things, but right now I'm just trying to get healed up. But once I do, all healed.
All right, man. Hey, so no, that's all good, man. I just wanted to, you know, get one of the big things across. And basically, if people, for example, you know, you said your back hurt and you're injured and you got some things going. What can somebody else do? You know, the real estate license, I think that was brilliant, man. It's just, like I said, if you're learning something every day and picking up a trade, you can't lose. I mean, you really can't.
You can't lose, man, because even if you don't use it, you have it in your back pocket. And what if one day, you know, you just, like, the thing about us, you know, as athletes and former athletes, you know, we always have our names, you know what I'm saying? So we meet a lot of people who know a lot of people, and you just never know who you'll come across. When you may come across a guy who you meet at the grocery store who is like a broker or whatever it is that he may be. Maybe he may own his own real estate company, and he's a fan, and he may say, so what you up to now? And you're like, well, shit, I'm just doing whatever. I got my real estate license, but I don't know if I, and he may just offer you to help him out, just to, you know what I'm saying? And then you may start up, you know, life after football with a real estate license. You may get into it and build your own business. Not what I plan on doing, but it could happen. It's good to learn. Like you said, it's good to learn a trade. It's good to learn a skill. It's good to always be progressing. Learn something, learn anything, read a book, read multiple books, like go whatever you have to do. Like always push yourself forward, you know, don't stay stagnant and stay the same.
And that's, you know, it's funny you said that, because I always have this thing that I say about former athletes. Guys wasn't great on the field because they were just bigger, faster, and stronger than everybody else. Like, when you get up to the NFL, everybody's big, fast, and strong. But guys who separate themselves is because our mentality and our ability to go and learn and want to learn and want to keep getting better and keep getting better. And then when you retire, you find yourself in this weird space. I remember the first 2 years, and I was broadcasting. I didn't feel comfortable talking about the game, and I was sitting up there, and I was supposed to be analyzing the game, but I still felt in my heart that I was supposed to be out there, and I could not physically and like mentally and emotionally let the game go. So I tell guys, if you take that same mentality that made you great on the field, court, or whatever your sport was, and you apply that to something you really want to do, you love doing after the game, you're going to be successful one way or another, because we have this want to learn and be great at something, and we won't stop until we get there.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And this, like for me, like there's so many things like that I want to be great at, but I got stuck in the depression. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get stuck, and like you need a push to get out of it sometimes. There's people that, you know, that get, you know, so far into it that a push just won't help. Maybe they need a kick. But you know, we all need to, you know, to help. Like I remember the other day, like just out of nowhere, like I just felt like I don't have a whole lot of followers on Twitter, but I just tweeted out, man, hey, check on somebody. You never know when somebody needs you. You know what I'm saying? And I really mean that. Like, check on somebody. Just, you know, shoot somebody a text. At you, like, we won't text for, you know, a month, 2-3 months, but you'll check up like, what up, bro? Like, you just checking on me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And I feel that, and I think more people should do it. Like, check on your people. Like, if you and check on people that ain't your people. You don't know. Like, if you consider them a friend, or you have their number in your phone, just check on them. See how they're doing. Make sure they're okay. Maybe they won't tell you, but, you know, if something happened, at least you know you reached out to them to try to see if there was anything going on. And maybe everybody, I don't care who you are, we all need people to talk to. You know what I'm saying? You always need somebody to talk to, and if you always need somebody that you can just open up to. So if you don't have somebody you can open up to, find somebody you can open up to, man, like that you can just tell anything, that you know, because maybe you don't think that somebody has your back, but they've been in your life so long that maybe you open up to them and you find out that just how much that they have your back. So this is kind of near and dear to me, the whole, you know, depression and mental health thing, because I've been through it. You've been through it with the whole, you know, with, you know, junior and with retirement, and, you know, a lot of athletes go through it. A lot of athletes go through it. So we all know, but.
And you think about everything under the sun. I mean, sir, you may not go forward and go through with everything, or you may not even try it. Some do, you know, try it and whatever, but I don't know very many people, especially former athletes, that haven't thought about it.
Right.
I don't know, they at least thought about it. And you might not take those next steps, but you at least thought about it at some point. And maybe that difference is for you not going all the way through with it, is reaching out and talking to somebody. And maybe that might be it.
Maybe that might be it. And like I said, like we got on the subject, like I think, you know, Dak did a hell of a job of putting it out there that we are going through it. Even in the game, we're still going through it. And, you know, and even for fans going through it, reach out. Just, you know, just go talk to somebody, right? You're not going to – you don't have to open up on, you know, national TV, but open up to somebody. Tell somebody, hey man, I'm going through it a little bit. Like, and I just need to talk. It could help. Could save a life.
Yeah. Hey, cool, brother. Hey, I appreciate you coming on, man. That was heavy. And then whenever you're trying to get those sparring rounds in, man, let me know.
Oh man,
I'm Not with me. You know? I just start working on the ground.
Doing boss level.
No. I want to stand up, man. All that jiu-jitsu, I just start picking it up over the last 3 months. And I'm on the ground now, like 2 or 3 days a week. And I'm going to see what 2021 look like.
Yeah.
If I feel good, man, I go.
I watch your video. So I'm looking at them and I'm saying to myself, I know exactly what you're doing. Like, it looks like you're preparing to fight, because everything you're going through is how to stand back up after you get taken down. So, like, uh-oh. Is he going to?
I was like, let me start what I hate the worst at, and that's being taken down and getting my ass back up.
So, get back up, bro. Good, cool, bro.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it. Appreciate you having me on, man. Anytime you need me.
Yeah, dog.
Talk about anything. You got me, bro.
Yep. My dog. All appreciate
right.
you.
Yep, for sure.
Guys, thanks for listening to my first podcast. And I want to thank also Quint Jam for coming on. And don't forget to subscribe and give me 5 stars, write a review. And we got a lot of great stuff coming. So keep listening. We'll keep bringing the heat.